Hello and welcome. This is Pastor Terry, and I'd like to welcome you to my Bible study podcast. This daily podcast is a place where we take the teachings of Scripture seriously, but ourselves, not so much. Join us as we dive into the sacred word of the Bible, and each time we read, we pray, we change the world. Welcome to Pastor Terry's Bible Study Podcast.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to today's podcast. It is Tuesday, March the 19th, 2024, and it's good to be back with y'all. Christy and I were gone last week. It's been a busy couple of weeks, actually. I had a couple of weddings I had to do, one for a friend of my daughter when she was growing up, and then just two weekends ago, my niece got married, so we were in Orlando doing that wedding, and then as soon as we got back, we spent a week in the Florida Keys, which was awesome. We've been in Florida almost 12 years now, had never been down there. Finally made the trip, and it did not disappoint. We had a fabulous time. It was just gorgeous down there. I've been out of the saddle here for six days, four or five days, 2 weeks. But we're not on every day though. So we're here Monday through Thursday. So we weren't on at all last week or yesterday, but glad to be back. We're continuing on where the readings are scheduled, so we won't be going back to where we were. So today we are in Exodus chapter 5 and 1 Corinthians 14, Mark chapter 9. And as we move closer and closer to Easter, this weekend is Palm Sunday. This coming Sunday is Palm Sunday. So just two Sundays, well, one Sunday before Easter. Yeah. So exciting time of year, a lot of ministry opportunities, church outreach events that go on this time of year. So just keep those things in prayer. A lot of people come to Jesus this time of year, because people are thinking about it. You know, there's just this heightened spiritual activity as people are praying and talking about and considering the gospel. And so there's a lot of folks that that make that decision to follow Jesus this time of year. And so you may have people, hopefully you do. You have people you're praying for and plan to invite to church or invite to an Easter outreach event. And we're praying with you, man. We're praying with you that God will move in a powerful way and change your loved one's life. Because there is power in the gospel. Amen. There is power in the proclaimed message of Jesus. There's power where the presence of Jesus is. So just getting people around the activity of Jesus is can be life-changing. Where people around people who love Jesus, who know him, who walk with him, and where the message of the gospel is proclaimed. So exciting stuff. All right, let's jump in to our daily readings. So glad you guys are on. Good to be back with you. So we're in Exodus chapter 5. So we'll read the whole chapter, chapter 5, 1 through 6, 1. You know what we do? We read, we pray, change the world. Afterward, Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says, let my people go, so that they may hold a festival to me in the wilderness. Interesting parallel, right? Between, not an interesting, a very poignant and meaningful parallel between the Exodus and the Easter story. The Exodus leading the people of Israel out of Egyptian slavery into freedom is exactly what Jesus came to do spiritually for the people of God, to take us out of captivity, spiritual bondage to the enemy, spiritual bondage to sin, to lead us. Jesus is, in a sense, the perfect Moses who leads us, who exits us out of the dominion of death and sin into freedom. And so here Moses is breaking the news to Pharaoh. Hey, Pharaoh, it's time to let my people go so that they may hold a festival to me in the wilderness, so they what may worship. You know, one of the biggest reasons for the Exodus was freedom of worship, so that people could worship God. Verse 2. Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord? Who is Yahweh? That I should obey him and let Israel go. I do not know the Lord, and I will not let Israel go." Then they said, "The God of the Hebrews has met with us. Now let us take a 3-day journey into the wilderness to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God, or he may strike us with plagues or the sword." But the king of Egypt said, "Moses and Aaron, why are you taking people away from their labor? Get back to your work." Then Pharaoh said, "Look, the people of the land are now numerous, and you are stopping them from working." So Pharaoh sees the people only as their function as laborers, but denying their spiritual side of their lives, the significant spiritual aspect of their lives. I think this is just a great reminder for all of us that while we do work, and there is a certain amount of reward and sense of accomplishment and self-worth even that comes from work and accomplishing things. That's built into us as human beings, a desire to produce. But it is equally important to remember that that is not primarily what we are. We are not primarily what we produce. We are, you know, human beings, right? Being. I listened to Pastor Alex's message from Sunday, which is a big point of what she was making, was that we are beings, and we are created to be with God. And that, you know, early in our Christian lives, as she pointed out, part of the process of spiritual development is we want to, you know, you come to Christ, you want to do things for God. You want to do. I want to do for God, do for God, do for God. Then you come to a crisis point where you have to realize, wait, God's still doing some work in me. I'm not all cleaned up yet. Like, there's still some stuff that God's working on in me. And it's an ongoing process. And you learn to be with God. I've got to just be with God. It's not about me doing. But in significant measure, I've got to be with God, abide in him, John 15. And as I abide with him and spend time with him in prayer and meditation and the word of God, he works on the inside of me. And then I'm ready again, once more, to do things in my spiritual life. But I'm not doing things for God, I'm doing things with God. And that's a significant shift. I'm walking with God. We're still accomplishing things, still reaching out to those who are far from God, still doing things that are important in the world, doing things of justice and compassion, but I'm not doing them for God, as if God needed me. I'm doing things with God, with what he's doing. I'm walking with him. And that's a powerful distinction and a reminder that we are both those. We do things, but we are first beings. And the best combination is when we're doing things with God. So Pharaoh's like, get back to work. Verse 6, that same day, Pharaoh gave this order to the slave drivers and overseers in charge of the people. You are no longer to supply the people with straw or for making bricks. Let them go and gather their own straw, but require them to make the same number of bricks as before. Don't reduce the quota. They are lazy. That's why they're crying out. Let us go and sacrifice to our God. That is the enemy's, that's what the enemy tells us, right, in our heads whenever we spend time with God or we take time for prayer instead of quote-unquote working. Oh, you're lazy. That's a waste of time. That's the age-old deception. That spending time with God, spending time in prayer, is, quote, unproductive and worthless. But in fact, it's the most important thing we can do. And here Pharaoh is saying, you know, they're just, they don't really, there's this thing about worshiping God is, that's, it's not true. It's not a, that's not the real reason. The real reason is they're lazy. So let's make their work harder. Let's go and make the work harder for the people so they can keep working and pay no attention to lies. Man. That's interesting, right? Like, that's what the enemy wants to keep us so busy that we don't tend to our spiritual lives. You know, the enemy would love to keep you so busy at and running at such a hectic, frantic pace that you and I would neglect our spiritual lives, that we would, in fact, never even look at them, never even notice them, never even tend to it, I should say. So we just keep running, keep going without ever pausing to be introspective, prayerful, and really tend to the most important part of our being, which is our spiritual life. He is determined to continue to tell us all that. Just don't pay attention to those lies. There's no God. There's no spiritual reality to your life. You just keep work, produce. Until you look back over your life, for far too many, they look back over their lives, and they're like, whoa, I missed a vital piece of my existence. I am woe unto me. I am a spiritual being. I am not just a mom or a dad. I'm not just an employee. I'm not just a business owner. I'm not just a citizen of this community. I'm not just an American. I'm not just all the hats that we wear throughout our lives. I'm also created in the image of God, which means I have a distinct and profound spiritual existence. You've heard the saying, we are primarily spiritual beings in a physical body. We are not primarily physical beings with a spirit. We are primarily spiritual beings with the body. Verse 10, then the slave drivers and the overseers went out and said to the people, this is what the Lord, this is what Pharaoh says, I will not give you any more straw. Go and get your own straw for whatever you, wherever you can find it, but your work will not be reduced at all. So the people scattered all over Egypt to gather stubble to use for straw. The slave drivers kept pressing them, saying, complete the work required for you each day, just as when you had straw. And Pharaoh's slave drivers beat the Israelite overseers they had appointed, demanding, "Haven't you met your quota of bricks yesterday or today as before?" So they're expected to do more with less, right? Then the Israelites' overseers appealed to Pharaoh. "Why have you treated your servants this way? Your servants are given no straw, yet are told, we are told, make bricks. Your servants are being beaten, but the fault is with your own people." Pharaoh said, "Lazy, that's what you are, lazy. That is why you keep saying, let us go and sacrifice to the Lord. Now get to work." Man, that's a striking deception. It just keeps hitting me, and it keeps coming up in this. Because I think that is so true, that the message is that time with God is worthless. Like, right, and some people would look at what we do when we read the word of God together and spend some time in prayer, even on this podcast. Oh, what a waste of time. That's the message that the enemy has been sending to the people of God forever. It's the biggest gaslighting ever. Don't spend time with God. That's a waste of time. That's worth it. Actually, what you're just lazy. You're just looking for a distraction. You're just looking for something else to do rather than work. Because work is the primary task of life, right? Enemy has been doing that forever. The Israelites' overseers realized they were in trouble when they were told, "You are not to reduce the number of bricks required for you for each day." When they left Pharaoh, they found Moses and Aaron waiting to meet them, and they said, "May the Lord look on you and judge you. You have made us obnoxious to Pharaoh and his officials, and have put a sword in their hand to kill us." It's like, Moses and Aaron, you guys have made this worse, man. You were supposed to be setting us free, but you're actually, you've made things worse. Ooh, but you know what happened? You know, this is always true, man. It's not like written in the word that I know of, but it's definitely like proverbial. Like, it's like most of the time this is the way it works. It almost always gets darker before there's deliverance. When God is leading you out, when God is leading you to an exodus, when God is about to deliver, it almost always, guys, a proverbial, I don't know that it's 100% this way, but it's most of the time true. It's going to get darker before you break through to the light. It's darkest right before the dawn, right? You've heard that? It's the same thing. Like, it gets worse until you break through, man. And that's the enemy, man, because the enemy wants you to quit. He wants you to give up. He wants you to stop trusting God. And so he's going to ratchet it up right before the dawn. Because if you go turn back, if you'll quit, if you'll deny God and stop trusting, then you'll stay in that permanent state of less than what you were created to be. So the work gets harder. It seems more unfair, seems more difficult, seems more dim, seems more helpless, hopeless, right before the dawn. Verse 22, Moses returned to the Lord and said, "Why, Lord, have you brought the people trouble on the people? Is this why you sent them? Ever since I went to Pharaoh and to speak your name, he has brought trouble on this people. And you have not rescued your people at all." No. It's true. It's true. Moses is right. He hasn't rescued them. But look, watch. You know what he's doing? He's rescuing them. It's all part of the same journey, man. It's not complete, but this is part of the journey. He hasn't rescued, but he is rescuing them. Oh, look, somebody. That's a word for somebody. You may be in a dark night right now. You may be in a difficult time. You're like, God, why haven't you rescued me yet? He hadn't rescued you yet. You're not in denial. It's difficult. It is difficult. But understand this: He is rescuing you. It's part of the journey to the brighter day. Yes, sir. That's the story of the gospel, right? Monday, Thursday, Jesus crying, just praying and just crying tears of blood. The cross. God, why have you forsaken me? God, what is going on? Jesus wasn't rescued, but he was being rescued. He was on the journey, man. He was on the journey. It wasn't the finished final destination, but it was still part of the same journey. Yeah. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 1 through 19. Welcome, everybody. So glad you guys are on. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but to God. Instead, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening and encouraging and comfort. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves. But the one who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets, so that the church may be edified. So Paul's here is talking about the spiritual gifts in the church, gifts of prophecy specifically, and gifts of tongues, and the proper use of those gifts in the worship experience. And here he's saying, essentially, tongues is for the individual and edifies the individual. Nothing wrong with the spiritual gift of tongues. But he's saying, I would much more prefer that you prophesy, that you proclaim forth the truth of God. That you would hear and perceive the word of God and proclaim it. Now, brothers and sisters, if I come to you and speak in tongues, what good will I be to you unless I bring you some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or word of instruction? Even in the case of lifeless things that make sounds, such as the pipe or harp, how will anyone know what tune is being played unless there is a distinction in the notes? Again, if the trumpet does not sound a clear call, who will get ready for battle? So if everyone's speaking in tongues, no one understands it, then how can they rally around it? How can they respond to it? Because they don't understand what's being said. A prophetic word, a word that is from God, a word that is grounded in Scripture and spoken forth, that is a timely word, people can respond to that. They can be edified by it. They can be encouraged by it. They can be motivated by it. So it is with you. Unless you speak intelligible words with your tongue, how will anyone know what you're saying? You will just be speaking into the air. Undoubtedly, there are all sorts of languages in the world, yet none of them is without meaning. If then I do not grasp the meaning of what someone is saying, I am a foreigner to the speaker, and the speaker is a foreigner to me. So it is with you. Since you are eager for gifts of the Spirit, try to excel in those gifts that build up the church. Build up the church. He's just giving an example here from just basic, you know, human language. It's like if someone doesn't speak the language, my native language, then I'm a foreigner to them. I can't understand what they're saying. I'm a foreigner to them, and they're a foreigner to me. There's a distance between us, but when we speak a common language, there's a unity, and that builds up the body of Christ. That builds up the unity of the church. For this reason, the one who speaks in a tongue should pray that they may interpret what they say. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So what shall I do? I pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my understanding. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my understanding. So what is Paul saying? What Paul is basically saying, he does both. Paul is saying he prays in tongues. That's what he says. But in the public gathering, he proclaims it in a way that people understand. My spirit prays when appropriate, but I'm mindful of the gathered people of God and what is going to help people gather around the gospel. So I'll sing with my spirit. And here, how does this tie into the other part we talked? Again, this is talking about we are spiritual beings. We are spiritual beings. And the whole part of the Exodus was so that they might worship. They might be delivered so that they could worship. And here Paul is saying, here's how you worship. You are a spiritual being. You are created to worship. Do so with delight. Do so with depth and passion and order when you're gathered in community. Verse 16, otherwise, when we are praising God in the Spirit, how can someone else who is now put in the position of an inquirer say amen to your thanksgiving, since they do not know what you're saying? You're giving thanks well enough, but no one else is edified. They can't understand what you're saying. They can't amen what you're saying. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. Paul obviously spoke in tongues. But in the church, I would rather speak 5 intelligible words to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. That is pretty clear what he's saying. Paul's like, I have the gift of tongues, is what Paul is saying. But with the gathered people of God, I would rather speak 5 words that people can understand than 10,000 words in tongues for all of the reasons he already mentioned. Because people don't understand it. It's not something someone can amen. It's not someone can rally around. It doesn't necessarily edify anyone other than the one who is speaking in tongues. And so, verse 20, brothers and sisters, stop thinking like little children. What do little children think of? Me. He's like, so stop being selfish. In regard to evil, be infants, but in your thinking, be adults. So be innocent, but as adults, be mature. I mean, when it comes to your thinking, be mature. In the law, it is written, with other tongues and through the lips of foreigners, I will speak to this people, but even they will not listen to me, says the Lord. Tongues, then, are a sign not for believers, but for unbelievers. Prophecy, however, is not for unbelievers, but for believers. So if the whole church comes together and everyone speaks in tongues, and inquirers or unbelievers come in, will they not say that you are out of your mind? But if an unbeliever or an inquirer comes where everyone is prophesying, they are convicted of sin, and are brought under judgment by all as the secrets of their hearts laid bare. So they will fall down and worship God, exclaiming, God really is among us. Wow. So Paul just makes it very clear that he doesn't downplay the gift of tongues. He doesn't consider it insignificant. He says, I wish y'all had it. But he says, in the public gathering, what is most important is intelligibility, understanding, so that people understand the gospel and can respond to the good news of Jesus. That is the most important thing. So if you had a choice, prophesy, proclaim the good news. So, well, guys, we look at that first day back, and I'm already out of time. I don't even have time to do the gospel. I'm supposed to be reading gospel Mark 9, 42 through 50. But I'm running. My timer is about to expire here. So, So you have to read that one on your own. Basically says, if you cause any one of these little ones to stumble, it would be ready for a millstone to be thrown around your neck and thrown into the sea. Before you take the plank out of the splinter out of someone's else eyes, get the plank out of your own. You know what I mean? All right, you guys, thanks for being on today. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your holy word. Thank you for your goodness and grace. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for joining me on today's podcast. I hope you enjoyed the show. If this episode has been an encouragement to you, take a minute to subscribe or comment or share it with your friends. You can find me, Pastor Terry, and Bayside Church on all social media platforms. You can find Bayside at Bayside Church SH. Until next time, remember, God's word is true. Everything else is merely commentary. God bless you. We'll see you next time.